This is a 180-ton English merchant bark. Very common sort of ship. In England, there is nothing unusual about this ship. In fact, I'll tell you one thing about this ship. Back here, I tell you, is where the officers is, yeah? In the roundhouse and down below in the steerage cabin and in the great cabin, that's where the officers will stay. Common sailors like me, we stay in the forecastle, in the front. So I mentioned where the officers and where the common sailors stay. Who am I leaving out?
Passengers,
thank you very much. Now I got a question for you folks. Y'all look pretty smart.
You think you're smart.
All right, it's a trick question. And the question is, how many passengers do you think a ship like this is designed to carry?
400.
Give me some more numbers.
700.
100.
100.
100.
10.
100.
0.
6,000.
Who said zero? Why did you say zero?
They're all working.
Nope. She got the right answer for the wrong reason. Why do you think?
Because that's not the point of the ship.
This man is right. Be nice to him. Y'all going to be working
for him. Oh my God.
Not a passenger ship. It is a cargo ship. There is no such thing as a passenger ship. There's three kinds of ships in the world. There are fishing ships, there's military ships, and there's cargo ships. This is a cargo ship. Now, if you want to hire a cargo ship to take you and 101 of your closest personal friends across the Atlantic Ocean, well, that's fine. But while you're aboard, you will consider yourself cargo. And I'll show you where you put the cargo. You folks want to follow me? We have questions while we're waiting. You are, by and large, the least curious what I've met in quite a while. Perhaps you've been aboard your conveyances to your office. Yes! That is the bunk of the quartermasters. There's two of them. All right, I'm just going to start. That's very good.
Actually,
I will get to that. This cabin is called the steerage cabin. Why is it called the steerage cabin?
It's for steers.
Thank you. You're wrong, but that was almost amusing. It's called the steerage cabin because this is where you steer the ship.
Get out of town.
This here, while I'm speaking, I would very much appreciate being the only one speaking. All right, this here is called the whipstaff. It is how you steer a ship.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding. This staff is a lever. It is connected down below to the tiller and thus to the rudder in the back of the ship. The man who steers the ship is called the helmsman, and he stands right here.
He can't even see anything.
He cannot see anything. It's not his job to see anything. Ships sink when helmsmen think. It is not his job. He is given direction from officers, what's above, through this hatchway right here. The officers will yell down, "Helmsman, north by west!" And the helmsman says, "Aye, sir, north by west!" And he opens up this binnacle here, in which there are compasses. And he knows north by west is that way. So he brings forth the whipstaff over to the larboard. He steers the rudder so that the ship is pointed north by west. That is how the ship is steered. Now, you might also notice that there are some beds here, sort of in the Dutch fashion.
Yeah.
But there's little beds here for officers. As I said, all officers stay in the cabins in the aft, common sailors in the fore. Any passengers, if there are any, are cargo, and they're kept down in the cargo deck. So let's go in here. This is the master, his cabin.
Yeah, I know, I saw it on the bed.
Sasha,
shh. This is the master, his cabin, but he's not here, so don't... you're a a very happy little fella, aren't you? Think we should put you to work?
Sasha, give him his hat back. Come on. Give me this.
Make him. No, you put it on. I want to see him in it. Yes, yes, you've got to. All right, then. Thank you. All right, this here is the master's cabin. It's called the Great Cabin. This is where the master of the ship, he lives, right? Now, ships like this, is a merchant ship. It ain't got no captain. Captain is a military title, and this is a merchant ship, as I have said now three times. It is a merchant ship, and the master is allowed this cabin for himself. You can have a look around. As I said, he's not here. Down on the table there, you'll see that there's some tools of navigation.
Oh, look out, we're coming at you.
What? Oh! This tool here is called a cross staff. And this is how you tell your latitude when you're at sea. Does anybody know what latitude is?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's as reasonable as anything else. People is going like this. It's very difficult to put into words. I tend to think latitude and longitude, right? Them's the two ways. I think that the equator is the largest of the lines of latitude, and therefore it's got an attitude about it, you see, because it's larger. All the lines of longitude are the same size, but the equator is large. So your latitude means your distance from the equator. Now, how are you going to tell your distance from the equator? It turns out that there are several good ways to tell your distance from the equator, and one of them is through the use of this thing here. What you do is you go up on deck, and you put this thing up to your eye, and you move this cross piece back and forth until this part is aligned with the horizon. That's where the sea meets the sky. And this part is aligned with the sun at noon. It's got to be at noon. Once you move this back and forth and you line them two things up, you'll get a number. And that is the angle of the sun at noon. Now, if you know the angle of the sun at noon, and you know the date, you can tell your latitude. Because as we all know, if you are on the equator at midsummer at noon, where is the sun? Directly overhead. So if the variables are the date, your distance from the equator, and the angle of the sun, if you know the date, and you know the angle of the sun, you can figure out your distance from the equator. And that's how we tell latitude. You know how we tell longitude?
No.
No, neither do I. We don't. But when you think about it, you know, Christopher Columbus, he had one of these, and he knew his latitude quite well. But he lands in a new world. Where does he think he is?
India.
Christopher Columbus is as wrong as is humanly possible about his longitude. He's half a world away. If Christopher Columbus was any wronger, he would have been righter by definition. All right, let's keep moving then.
I know about you. You're not going
nowhere near me.
Irish.
Yeah. We got the ship's boat, which is called the longboat, and that boat is the landing boat of Mayflower. That's the one down there you can have a look at. That, when we're at sea, that boat gets put upside down right here on the main hatchway, and that's how you get to shore. As it turns out, this harbour here, though it is, you can tell it's very well protected, so it's very calm here. It is such a shallow harbour that you cannot get a ship this size closer than a mile and a half to shore. So you've got to anchor a mile and a half out, and you've got to take that boat to shore. It is a terrible, terrible harbour for trade, unfortunately, though it is a good harbour for small vessels. This boat here is called a shallop. Or chaloupe, that's what the French call it, a chaloupe, if any of you are French. Okay. Get off!
Hey!
No, this is a, it's called a chaloupe, and it is, this boat here, we bring this in pieces. is sort of a boat you can break apart and you can stow down below in the hold. And then when we get to the Cape of Cod, we take out the pieces down from below and we drag them to shore, and our ship's carpenter takes 16 days to put it together. He's complaining the whole time that it takes him so long to put it together because them passengers, those folks you might know as pilgrims, they were sleeping in the parts of that boat and bent it all out of shape. That's what he says anyway. I think he's just a lousy carpenter. All right. This here is called the quarter castle. This is where folks like me stay. Common sailors is all stay in the forecastle. It's also where all the cooking is done. Now you'll go down there. That's the urlop. That's where all the passengers is. So all the cooking is done in there. Now unfortunately on this ship, our cook had to cook for all the passengers as well as the crew, which is a lot of work, a lot of extra work, but he got paid for it, so it's not that much of a problem. That there is the only open fire what's allowed on a ship. You simply cannot have passengers making little fires of their own. The ship is made out of oak and hemp and tar. If I was trying to kindle a fire, that's what I'd use. So you simply cannot have any open flames except here in the furnace for the cooking, where the ship's cook and his assistant cooked for 132 people twice a day. That's a miserable large number of folks. And most of the time we eat ship's provision, you know, things what's dried. Because if you dry things out and you pack them in casks, they'll last. If you try to take fresh fruits and meats and stuff aboard a ship, it's going to go reesty after a few days. But if you can dry things out, you know, you salt pork and you salt cod, and you dry out beef and neat's tongue and the thing, and you pack them in barrels full of salt, then they'll last for quite some time. You also got your dried peas and dried rice and dried barley, things like that, which you then boil up and make a pottage out of. As well, we eat hard cheesels, the last aboard the ship. But you gotta keep all foods away from the wet, because the wet is what causes the rot. You keep them dry and they'll last for a good long time. All right, let's go down to the urlop.
Okay,
we're all going.
All right, let's get the... Yes! Because they are not meant to be here. They are just here because these folks have taken their goods off. So, wait a minute to see these in there. All right, folks. This is the orlop deck. Say that word, orlop. Orlop. It's kind of fun to say. Orlop. Well, this is one of the two decks on Mayflower. What is for cargo? As I said, Mayflower is a cargo ship. It is not designed to carry any passengers. On this voyage, 102 people is our cargo and their goods, which is stowed down below in the hold, which can't live down here, down there. So you've got to try to imagine what it is like for... Now, somebody said there's like 40 of you or so. Try to imagine 2.5 times as many as you is people living down here for 2 months. Now, as cargo, perhaps the full meaning of it don't really come clear to you until you think... There are no facilities on this ship.
How'd they go to the bathroom?
We'll get to that. That's a reasonable question. Chamber pots is the answer. There is no light down here. It is dark. There is no fresh air down here. It stinks. There is no room to move around. There is no heat, and you're coming across the ocean in the late autumn and the early winter. It is miserable. You are stuck down here for 66 days, shoulder to shoulder, sitting in your own filth, no washing, no laundering.
Can't go up to the light.
You could on occasion when we first come away, but you only get to go up there if the weather is good, and after the first fortnight, the weather turned miserable. It's one storm after another. You can't have folks coming up and traipsing across the deck. You got to stay down here in your own filth, using chamber pots. And it's dark and there's nothing to do. And all you got to do is lie still. For that's the job of cargo. You lie still, you shut your mouth, and you try not to rock the boat. Now, the closest I can think to that sort of experience is being in a dungeon. But of course, a dungeon don't go like this. All day, every day. Oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't go like this all day, every day. So some days, it goes like this. Now, you just watch my hands for another few minutes and you'll start to feel nauseated. You'll be casting up your guts as well, so I'm going to stop. But you got to imagine that there's 102 people, seasick women, children, pregnant women, and men, stuck down here for 2 months in the dark, seasick, sitting in their own filth with goats and pigs and hens and dogs and rats and mice and lice and fleas and bed bugs and cockroaches and just about every kind of vermin you can imagine. It is disgusting down here. I don't think any of you could imagine how truly horrible it is to be cargo on a ship that's not designed.
Were they ever able to go up during the day?
At first they was, but not after the weather turned. And even then, for an inconsequential amount of time. Yes.
How many people died?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, numbers can be deceiving. As it turns out, only one of them passengers died. For it seems to take longer than 66 days to kill an Englishman by these sorts of conditions. But just because only one man died, what that doesn't say is that half of these folks was dying. They just didn't expire until they got here.
So there's a lot of people who died when they got
here. Right away, the minute we get to the Cape of Cod, people start dying. Right now, half of them has died. I figure at this rate, they got another 3 months, and they're all going to be dead. For these conditions. Now, I got an interest. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
It was a lot easier for the sailors.
It is entirely easier for the sailors. This is the job, what we've chosen for ourselves. We stay up top. We sail the ship. If you like sailing ships, like I do, you're having a good time. But down here, it is a very, very different experience. I would never come down here. It is disgusting. I don't know why they put themselves through that. And here's what I think. I think the men, what brought their women and children, pregnant women and small children, to come across the ocean for 66 days in these conditions, them folks should be arrested. That's abuse. It is a horrible thing. Now, I can't blame women. They do as their husbands say. And children, of course, they do what their parents say. But the men who bring these folks across, I don't know what's going through their head, but I ain't coming down here. It's disgusting. It's bad enough we've got to smell the stench. You know, before Mayflower come across the ocean, it was a wine ship. You know what wine ships are like? Wine casks, they leak. They leak down into the bilge and they kill all the stuff what grows in the bilge. It was a sweet smelling ship. That's what we all used to say. Oh, Mayflower, she's a sweet smelling ship. And you bring 102 people. You lock them up down here. You could imagine what the stench was like. It was disgusting, and it would waft up and fill the forecastle at times and make us all sick. Disgusting. That and the terrible singing. But I don't know. What are they going to do for 2 months? You got to sit in the dark. There's no occupations for them to do. There's nothing. You're all young folk. You're probably pretty active. You know, you get up in the morning and you start prancing around. You do your thing. Try to imagine sitting still. I think if I made you folks sit still for 2 hours, you would be in excruciating pain. You're just not used to it. You try sitting still for 2 months.
in the dark, and you will be unhappy.